Listeners' questions, April 2021. Woo! Spring is here, people. And so, what a surprise. We're going to talk more about steps. How are you getting on in your steps challenges? We're also going to talk more about tiny bowls and a little more, conversation as we finish last week's podcast referring to underpants or knickers. Which one do you wear? Let's get into it. We'll play the ukuleles first. So, Anna, I mean, loads on this podcast. Like, let me just kind of whiz through what I've seen on the list. I mean, loads of Target and general award celebrations, some brilliant stuff. We're also talking about more stuff to do with alcohol, with even about the menopause. We're talking about protein choices when you're vegetarian, vegan, meal planning when you get teenagers involved. Why is someone so windy when they first joined? So there's definitely a wide array of subjects that are to follow in the next hour. And by the way, I'm Claire. She's Anna. This is the Slimming World podcast. We are sponsored by Slimming World, which means that we have had to dip into their toolboxes and ask for help on some of these questions, actually, because they've taxed us in lots of different ways. But the most important debate, which Slimming World, the head office, cannot help us with, is underpants or knickers. So you're saying to me that you wear knickers?
Well, no, I'm not saying I wear them. I'm saying that's what I call them.
Whoa. That is a terrifying way
but
to start.
But that was a very presumptuous thing, wasn't it? Yeah, no, the debate is, obviously I'm from London. Boys wear pants, or men wear underpants, and girls wear knickers. But my small person comes home and calls them pants, and you call them pants. But pants.
I don't call trousers pants. I'm Midlands.
No, but
remember,
you call knickers
but we
pants.
Both.
Yeah, and she calls pants. What do you call your knickers? Pants.
My pants.
And what do you call your trousers? Trousers.
Trousers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I'm Midlands, so I'm kind of like a bit like, you know, not fully pants. I'm kind of half pants. If you're only just joining this podcast, you'll be like, what on earth am I talking, like listening to here? It's because a couple of weeks ago, we did an episode about clothes and we basically discovered that one of the things I really needed to do was get some new pants. And you'll be very pleased to know that I have inspired Matt to get some new pants, who is my other half. We are a new pant household here. We emerge from lockdown. If you see us strutting down the street, you'll just know a little secret that perhaps that day we're wearing our new pants. Anyway, this is a podcast about weight loss.
Not your pants.
One thing that did really make me laugh. We're gonna have a look at some of the lol moments that you guys have been having. We'll look at some of the light bulb moments and some of the celebrations. A little lol moment was that poor hot toddy, who's also called Julie. I guess that's what she was named when she was born. She wasn't born called hot toddy. Anyway, she said that unfortunately she's been dreaming about us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She actually had an interview to become a consultant recently. And I think what I was trying to work out was, I think in her real life, she was interviewing to be a consultant. But in her dream, we turned up. And we had all the stock and we helped her open her first group.
Oh, bless her. Was it a success?
I mean, I'm just glad that that wasn't a nightmare, really, because some people might actually think that could be a nightmare. The other cool thing as well is, you know, we're in that murky kind of grey area, aren't we, where different groups and different people are doing different things and some people are going to do pay and weigh, but then a virtual group. So Andy sent us a message saying about how with his consultant and their group, they'd actually been dressing up and some of the members had wore wedding dresses to the Zoom group. And he even got dressed up and he wore a tux to be the groom of the event. Now, that is how you do a virtual group. That is awesome.
We've been talking about getting dressed up for our last virtual group and having a party. I think it's got to be done.
Yeah, really yeah, all those clothes that you've been waiting to wear. And then, speaking of underwear, Elaine sent us a message, which we will not share the photos that you sent, Elaine, But Elaine has been on a whirlwind of a journey through her weight loss. She's been losing weight. She's still on the journey. But one of the things that she's realised is that she's in a new relationship, and she realised when she got in this new relationship that basically nothing really fitted. All of her bras, all of her knickers. She said knickers, not pants. And so she went and bought a new pair of undies. So she's gone both here for every day of the week.
Love that.
And then she could have different outfits, seven different outfits. And so she got married, and basically she started her married life with brand new underpants. I mean, I just love it. And some of them were like really nice, and they were really matchy, which I thought was impressive. Guys, you don't have to think about that. Be very grateful. But matching, I thought, was brilliant. So thank you for sharing that, Elaine. And I'm glad that episode meant something to you. It's been one that a lot of people have messaged us about, isn't it?
Really has, yeah.
So this message from Tish is around finding clarity and being honest. So it's quite a long one. But what she actually did for us, you know, we encourage people to do the journaling and the mind maps. And she sent us a photo of this mind map she'd had about a moment of clarity. And she reconnected with her why and where she'd been. And so she had a kidney transplant in 2020. So the end of March. Basically, she decided to tell her group what she'd actually be going through as a part of a journey, because she kept that to herself. And she had loads of love and support from her group, which is in Knowle in Bristol. She's still not quite comfortable in kind of talking about some of the things that she's been through, but she's starting to like gain that confidence and shout loud and proud, like during her dialysis, even after a transplant, that she's still here, that she's fighting and losing. And she's so close to target, and she's determined to get there. And she also says that she really started to reflect in this moment of clarity about the hidden health benefits of following Slimming World. They're reducing some of her medications. She's reducing her hospital appointments from monthly to once every 4 months. And so she had this moment of clarity after her hospital appointment. And she'd also just had a Zoom group as well. And the biggest surprise to her was that lockdown had been the best thing to happen to her personally. She had to cancel and reschedule her wedding 3 times. But it allowed her to make Slimming World a truly lifestyle commitment. And that, coupled with blood results from her recent hospital check, made her realise that what she'd given herself was a gift, and it was the best present to give her new kidney. So the email's much more detailed than that, but we wanted to summarise that. I guess what she kind of said is, maybe if she'd done the wedding and she lost the weight, it would have been over. But actually it slowed her down to maybe enjoy the process and look at it from lots of different perspectives. Mm,
I think lockdown has given a lot of us a lot of time to reflect on a lot of things. And as tough as it's been, it's maybe given us some more space in our head that we might not have had before. I know it has for me.
Yeah.
Mm. Amazing.
Penina talks about the for and against lists. As a result of listening to the podcast, she has actually started doing for and against lists and using that tool that you can get online. She actually listened to the first episode of us in a freezing supermarket lockdown queue last March. And has been listening ever since. But she, coupled with doing the for and against list and reading Margaret's book, it's really helped her deal with some of the wider food issues that she's been struggling with, a really revealing experience. And here's one just to make you smile. Katie has an amazing leopard print skirt that she can't wait to wear when the occasion arises. The only piece of colour in her wardrobe, as she discovered after we did the clothes podcast, was that skirt. And she realised 90% of her wardrobe is grey and black. And she's pledged that when the shops open, she is only buying colour, and she's going to stop trying to hide herself.
Love that, Katie. Keep us posted.
See, one of the things was there are so many Target celebrations. There are so many award celebrations. Like, I don't know whether, like, are you having this with members? Like, as it kind of looks like springtime is here, we're going to have to take more of our clothes off legally, and we're going to have to see more people. Like, maybe people are, like, really fired up for this. Like, I'm amazed. So many people here.
I mean, I think I had a couple of weeks ago, 5 Target members and 17 Half Stone Awards in a week. It was amazing. Like, someone had put a rocket in my groups. It's crazy. But I think that I saw a distinct change the moment people were like, life's going to open back up. Bit of certainty, or not real certainty, but yes. Amazing.
See, Joe here, finally back in Target range since putting all my weight back on. She got back on it in January 2020. She is so excited. She listens to the podcast on the run. Mary Lou is £3 from being £100 down. Fantastic. Rachel here hit her target last September. She lost 3 stone, 7 pounds. And one of the things that she said, a friend asked her, so now your target, like, why do you still go to group?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot. Like, when does this end, Anna?
Yeah. Yeah. And she said one of the things she's doing now, she's doing the Platinum Body Magic Award. So she's still working on the plan, even from before, and still going to group. Who have we got here? Jane. She only had 1 stone, 5 pounds to get her. That's her words. So it's not the biggest journey. But boy, has it been a bumpy road with lots of bends. Definitely the scenic route. Got to Target last week, ready for the Slim for Life book. And she just asks, is staying in Target range going to be a constant battle? Well, we'll dip into that in a second. Because
you know, Claire, you know how you lost like your 4 stone in a year? And I lost my majority of my weight very quickly. I found when I had a lot more weight to lose, it was easier than when I had the lot. We both found our last bit really hard, haven't we? And I think when, you know, when someone says something like, it's only 1.5 stone, I think it's having the strength to lose that. It can be much, much tougher when it's a small amount, because you've maybe made some really relative health changes, you've cut out all those things. So never take away from yourself. Weight loss journey is tough. Even if it's 7 pounds, it's tough. I mean, our last like half stone, Claire, has been like giving blood, hasn't it?
The biggest thing that I suppose I'm most proud of is that I'm actually the same weight as when we entered lockdown over a year ago. And
amazing.
Knowing how many other people have gained and struggled and, you know, I think a majority of people have probably gained and struggled and kind of had blowouts. If we're honest, there's probably far less than half that have like really lost weight and changed it all around. I think the majority of people, is that a fair generic?
I think it depends. It depends on the group. It depends on where they were in their journey. It depends. You see, for someone like
I'm not talking about group. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about out in the wider world.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think I read an article that the average woman has put on 2 stone in lockdown.
Wow.
Yeah, you mean if you're not like a Slim and Wild member trying to lose weight?
Otherwise, that's going to be massively skewed. I mean, yeah, if they're not losing weight, then what the hell are you doing?
I was like, oh my God, I'm doing a rubbish job if half my members are 2 stone heavier than when they started, aren't I? But yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know what's been very interesting with the outside world? People who'd never struggled with their weight before have struggled, actually, because for a number of reasons, their activity has changed. Their habits have changed. They've also been locked in their houses, a lot of them with their family, like they've never been before.
Yeah. But hey, look at this, right? Claire sent this message. Now, she rejoined Slimming World in April 2020. So that is like, what, a few weeks into when lockdown began. And now she says it's the best decision she could have made. She's 2.5 stone down. She's 2 to 3 clothes sizes down, depending if it's top or bottom. She's received 5 Slimmer of the Week awards, literally the first time ever. And she became a Target member on 20th of February, 2021. What a thing to show. Oh, and she's done Couch to 5K. I mean, what a thing to show for your lockdown. That's amazing.
Do you know what? I've met a few people like that who are like, I'm using this as my transformation. Like, it's amazing, isn't it? You've got the strength to do that. Brilliantly well done, Claire.
Verna says that she lost her job during the last year. And instead of kind of burying her head, she has done a lot of walking. She's been listening to the podcast. She has really been focusing on the plan and actually used this time to kind of just give herself a bit of a chance, a bit of a break. She's now at Target. She's lost 2 stone in the last year in lockdown. incredible. But also, what a great attitude to kind of take, because a lot of people probably might have just crashed and burned for a while, but instead yeah. you gave yourself a bit of a pep talk and you made something, you made it happen. So good for you, Verna.
Brilliant strength.
Shelley, we do make her laugh when she's out walking, often at the most inappropriate times. She also nearly started doing jumping jacks in queue to pay for food when she was listening the other week. So she hit targets last week, having lost 12 stone and 4 pounds since December 2019.
Whoa. I mean, that is, I thought she'd, when I read it, I thought she'd sent her weight in. And then I had to reread it three times. That's how much you've lost. That is astounding.
Incredible. She's been listening to the back catalogue where we've talked about target episodes. And similar to Jane, I think there's always this fear, isn't there, around like maintaining and staying at your target. Like yeah. Is it widely accepted that this is a new journey in itself?
I think staying at target is one of the toughest mindset switches you will ever make, because you've been on a course losing weight for, you know, it's going to be a long time for a lot of people. And that's why I always think about and try and get my target members ready for life as target, getting ready for that Slim for Life journey, and knowing that almost the first 3 months of target is going to take as much effort as the first 3 months of a weight loss journey because of the mindset swap. And also knowing it's about finding your way, but it's really key that you talk to your consultant, you communicate, you know, if you're struggling, you say, hang on, I'm not quite sure I've got this. The Slim for Life journal is brilliant to help you on your way. But the realization I had to come to is that the habits that you've formed in your weight loss journey are going to be the ones that help you maintain your weight loss. It's not about flicking a switch and going back to the way you used to eat and drink, because otherwise you'll be back in the same spot where you started, or like me, heavier. But I think it's really natural that you're fearful. It's really natural that you're hesitant, that you don't know what to expect. But really key that you shout out for that help and support. I know it's something that's always worried you, Claire, hasn't it?
Yeah.
If you could see her, guys, she just like looked up at the sky, like hopeless. Like, what's that mean? What's that face say?
I think sometimes I just get bored of having the same thoughts. I get bored of myself thinking, you know what I mean? Like, I do recognise that I am very tough on myself about that, and I do have quite a lot of fear, and I'm working through that. I'm thinking about it from different perspectives, but I do find it really, it helps me when you guys email and share your experiences. Like yeah. actually some of the emails that we've had in the last couple of weeks have been from fellow Slimming World vegans who have said, I got stuck, this is what I did, here's a couple of recipes that I tried, and that really helps me think about things in a different way. So
I think a really important thing for us to understand as consultants and the Slimming World is being vegan or plant-based has really become much more, I don't want to use the word normal, but much more popular in recent years. And maybe as consultants, if we're not vegetarian or being vegan, we need to make sure that we picked up the pace with the understanding and going on that quest of knowledge with you guys. Because, you know, in many a group, we might say go and snack on a boiled egg or a piece of ham or something like that. And actually, that's not what you need. That's not what you need to hear. So we need to help you in that quest of information. So, you know, I've really found as a consultant, I've really had to do my homework on, you know, vegan cheeses and all those type of things, because otherwise I'm doing you a disservice, aren't I? But we've almost had to pick up the knowledge as we go along, because it's not something that's been natural to us. So
yeah, I've had to do a lot of like thinking and research myself, because it's just, it's all about protein. I mean, if that's one thing I could give to a consultant who knows they want to get up to speed with like vegan, vegetarian, like on the plan, it's really, really know some helpful, useful protein sources. And what's more difficult is there are less that have the pea symbol, because I rely on some brands, but which of course they're free food, but they're not pea, because we can't guarantee whether the brands have enough. So I have to work 1,000 times harder the closer I get to target in getting enough protein. And I'm finding actually I'm having to use some of my sins in order to get more protein in. So
I think what it's definitely harder, isn't it? It's definitely, while the food market is catching up and you can get a lot more variety, I think it's harder, like you say, to get those sources of protein in such an easy way that I might grab something. So it's been a really interesting journey to watch you on it, because I've learned as you've learned, and I've learned from you, and I've learned from, you know, last week I had 7 new members and 3 of them were vegan. That wouldn't have been the case 2 or 3 years ago. So it's very interesting that now we're really trying to work on those resources and find new things as well.
I think also that there's a feeling around people, particularly if you're doing a journey like Slimming World, that you are doing it for your health. And there can be a kind of feeling that a lot of people are moving towards, like, less meat, less red meat, more vegan, vegetarian, just not even fully. Yeah, like just as a way to be better for our health. So I think that's driving it. So that's probably also why there are more members that are coming through. And speed is not something you have to worry about, that's for sure.
But it's easier than it was 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean? You can go to a high street supermarket and pick things up in a way that you wouldn't have been able to do.
Yes and no, because then you look at the plan and you look that there are only 2 types of approved of healthy extra cheese, and often they're not available in supermarkets. One of them I've never, ever seen ever anywhere.
Really?
And the other one, I know where I need to go, but they're not always in stock. So quite often, cheese is not always an option. And I found that one thing to check at the moment is some of the healthy extra A vegan approved milks have changed in their proportions. So I got caught out by that when I did my food diary the other week, and I realised coconut, oat, like, just check. They keep changing because it's such a new, changing, researchable area. So, yeah, it's much more, you just need to put a bit more thinking into it.
Yeah, totally.
Let me just tell you about George. So George dropped us a message and he said that he bought a house, and he was needing to renovate it. He bought this house in January 2020 and he realised as he was doing the renovation, he was up a small scaffolding tower that basically was absolutely shattered all of the time, and his weight started to become a real issue. So he ended up pulling on, wait for this, his Brave pants.
I mean here?
There's such a panty theme here.
Isn't
it? Brave pants. I don't know where he is in the world, whether that means brave trousers or brave underpants. But anyway.
We're going to go with underpants.
I don't know. And he walked into where his group is held on a Monday night with his consultant, Dawn Forbes, who describes herself as the Huntley Stunt Consultant. Ooh. Interesting. Nice. He stood on the scales and he got the fright of his life when he saw how much he actually weighed. He'd never been this heavy, and it was the catalyst that got him in his head in the right place. He's committed to the Slimmer World journey, and basically, as a result of that, he's now lost 6 stone, 9.5 pounds.
Wow.
He is within a very small sock stretch to his target. A baby-sized sock length? Nope, that's not analogy that works. I'll move on. Anyway, he was voted Mr. Sleek 2020 in his group. He was crowned the biggest loser on Monday. And the main difference is that he said the journey has changed his eating habits. He's changed that such an extent that going back to his old habit turns his stomach, which is a great mindset to be, in his opinion. And one of the things he says about men as well, he says, any men who speak to me, they ask, how do you manage it? And my answer is to overcome your fear. Get yourself into that group and get started and watch your body and your fear start to disappear.
Wow.
I like the way that I rhymed. It rhymed at the end, George.
Yeah, we love a rhyme.
Watch your body and your fear start to disappear. Sorry, it was a heartfelt, meaningful sentence, which I just...
You've just, like, literally made fun out of. But we got your sentiment, Claire. It's fine.
I mean, George, you sent us some pictures. I mean, a brilliant year that you've had. And I hope that the house renovation is going well. Because, I mean... Oof, That does not fill me with excitement. I heard somewhere that actually DIY stores, their profits have gone up like by like triple or something like stupid like that because of the last year. But amazing. Wow. Right, let's get into some of these questions then, okay? So Grace says that her mom tried Slimming World for a week and only lost half a pound. She felt disheartened. She gave up. Any words of encouragement for her? I'm not sure if that's words of encouragement for Grace or for her mom, maybe both.
How lovely is Grace to message, though?
You know, and just also saying here, Caroline, she's lost the plot. She's been on Slimming World 2 or 3 years. She had lost 1.5 stone. She put 1 stone back on in lockdown. Now she's just lost the plot. Should she just give up on Slimming World and maybe just come back another time?
Wow. First of all, Grace, how lovely are you that you've messaged? I would always say talk to your consultant because there will be a reason it's only half a pound. You know, the food diary is the window we've got into your world to go and see what's going on. And it may be, you know, like me, where I just got it totally wonky, was eating a healthy extra B from every column there was. At that point, there was 12 different columns. I just hadn't got to grips with it. So I would talk to your consultant because while it's amazing to have an epic start to your journey, sometimes your first week does go a bit wonky and you haven't got all your ducks in a row and it may be just some fine tuning. Talk to the consultant and food diary. And to Caroline, I've been there. I've totally been there. I've fallen out of love with food optimizing and fallen out of love with myself and had to find it. My best advice would be, yes, start a journey, but lose the baggage. Forgive yourself for the fact you put the weight on, but know that actually, if your head's in the right space, going for it again could see you, you know, lose that weight and more in the next 6, 8, 10 weeks. But another thing to think about, sometimes I think as people try to lose weight, we try and force it when our head's not in the right space. So really make sure starting a journey that you feel like it's something you want to commit to, because how many times did I go and sign up just because I thought I should and it never materialized into a weight loss? I don't know, Claire, what would you say?
I think people have to accept that getting started, and also if you're a newbie with the plan, is incredibly difficult. Like, I remember how really it took me, if I'm honest, about 6 months until I truly understood what the plan was about. Like, and that was me going to group every week, staying to group as well, like, you know, using the virtual group is a way that you just get a bit more information. There's the magazines, obviously. There's the website. There's the features. There's our podcast. There's the YouTube for Slimming World, which has got recipes. There's lots of different ways, but just kind of being kind to yourself and accepting that you will not know everything about this plan straight away. And that it's just like kind of a process of learning and taking things as you go, because I had never really cooked properly when I joined. I didn't really understand how to build and piece together my own meal. So then for someone to kind of start talking to me about recipe books and measuring and, you know, all these different types of foods that I'd never tried, let alone heard of, and I didn't know where they were in the supermarket, it was a lot to get my head around.
Learning curve, isn't it?
And I felt stupid, if I'm honest. I felt quite stupid, but I kept that to myself. But I stuck with it, right? And I learned. And now, as you say, like, it's bonkers where, like, here I am talking about flipping vegan, healthy extra A's and protein, really work at your protein. But that's because I've just kind of accepted, I don't know everything about this, but I'm going to open my mind to just learning and finding out about it. And also, like, yeah, using people like in your group, if you know that there's someone who's maybe joined at the same time, like, how are you getting on? Do you want to, I don't know, like, just message them in the week, chat with your consultant, ask questions, don't struggle in silence, and don't try and, like, kind of think, well, I should know everything. Yeah, just draw the line, open your mind.
You know how you said, oh, I felt stupid? Please know, there is no such thing as a stupid question. You wouldn't berate yourself if you were learning to become a nurse and drawing blood from someone, or you were, you know, being a joiner and learning how to put a shelf up. You know, you don't expect to be perfect. And that's, again, a pressure we put on as slimmers, that if we don't get half a stone off in the first week, somehow we failed ourselves or the plan doesn't work. But sometimes what we need to appreciate is maybe it's a little bit more time, it's a little bit more understanding. So just ask. I would always say, I would rather my members rang me, text me and said, Anna, I'm not sure about this, help me.
The other thing I think as members is we have a responsibility to contribute to our community. And so as I have found the answers of some of these things, then I almost consider it my duty to help these people who are starting out. So one of the ladies, Joan, who's in our group, you know, who I said who was originally in bed and now she's downstairs in the kitchen and she's fully dressed, we've progressed.
So glad.
She said to me the other week, Claire, I bought tofu. What do I do with it?
She bought tofu.
And so she was, and I said, here's what I try. And so that's good because you want to be able to, that it should be cyclical. It shouldn't be all like a triangle, like all on the consultant. I think that you should be able to, as a new member, ask questions. But you, as a member who's a bit more established, and if you're a target, then you should be chipping in and sharing and helping because it's a community.
Some of my greatest knowledge comes from my members, you know. I learn with them. Like, you know, the thing we're talking about when you became plant-based, I learned so much through you that I would have never have encountered because, you know, I hadn't experienced that very much. So, yeah, ask for help, I think, is what we're saying.
Yeah. Something that we had to kind of go and just really think about and look up was the issue around menopause and when people follow Slimming World. This is like, you know, something that we get so many questions. You know, I mean, I can see here, oh, Julie, Heather, Lottie, Adele, Sally, Christine, someone else who doesn't want to be named. I think I even saw another email this morning. A lot of you are asking, how does it work? Like, almost like sometimes I think people think, oh, when you're on the menopause, there's this plan. When you've got diabetes, there's this plan. But actually, it's the same plan. And then it adapts and is flexible to what your dietary requirements, your physical, mental requirements need to be. So what do you say as a consultant or what does Slimming World overall advise about what happens on a menopause?
So I think it's really important to recognise that being on the menopause is not going to make you gain weight. Being premenopausal is not going to make you gain fat. And it depends if you're going through the menopause and on something like HRT. We know that HRT in itself can cause fluid fluctuation, but never weight gain. So be reassured by that. And the way we kind of work that out through research is while fluid fluctuation happens over a month, you should still see an overall weight loss. A healthy weight loss is between 1 to 2 pounds. In a week, but also knowing that when you go through any hormonal change in your life, your appetite can change, your wants and your needs can change, the active can change. So that can all have a big impact on the wider picture. But there is no magic bullet that you should or shouldn't do. If you food optimize and you keep food optimizing and checking out that you are food optimizing, so getting help from your consultant, you will see, and we've done surveys with our members who are, you know, going through the menopause on HRT especially, that the average weight loss still works out to be about 1 to 2 pounds. So kind of looking at it from a personal point of view, I think it's really important also to know with the menopause, not everybody's the same. You know, there are some people that fly through the menopause and have no problems, have no hot sweats, have no, you know, bad headaches or, you know, joint problems or anything like that. But there are some women, and I've got members in my group who have had every kind of, you know, side effect or, you know, problem with the menopause. And I think what we'd worked out with a lot of them is what had happened was, you know, when they were feeling a bit rubbish, they went back to old habits with food. But I just want to reassure everyone, menopause does not mean weight gain. Menopause and HRT can cause fluid fluctuation, as can any hormonal change. You know, we've talked about it, Claire, when we're due on, we're ovulating, all those things, we can see the spikes. But you always talk about the report card and the bigger picture. And when you look at it over a month, you will see the true reflection. But I would say talk to your consultant so that they can direct you in any help or support you might need. I would also always think about protein. Protein for anybody that really wants a boost to their weight loss is going to be something that's fantastic. So looking at how you can A, incorporate more protein into your daily intake, and also looking at how you're maybe structuring your meals. Is it something you really pay attention to? Because we know it's the food group that's the most filling for the smallest amount of calories, and remembering that weight loss comes from a calorie deficit, and we need to create that, don't we? So yeah, don't stress.
And you know, some of these, the emails and the stories that you're sharing with, they're really, really tough. Like, we
so
totally
hard.
We totally hear you and really, you know, feel that your pain as slimmers, as fellow slimmers, you know, even if we're not going through what you're going through. And I think I do find that intriguing, how, you know, you could have a group of like 15 people and there be someone who's got diabetes, someone who's got a heart condition, someone who's vegetarian, someone who's a meat eater and a drinker, someone who is a meat eater but doesn't drink, but how this, the skeleton of the plan, I suppose, can work for all those people, but it can be adapted or looked at to take in these different dietary requirements.
Needs, yeah. And if that's, you know, that's what blows my mind about food optimizing. It's such a big umbrella that if you are celiac, you are diabetic, you have got a dairy intolerance, or you're pregnant, it's safe. You just need to work out what's right for you with your consultant. You know, I remember when I first was very, very sick with my colitis, and I had to go on such a barbaric steroid treatment. It was horrific. It was IV, it was tablets. And you know, steroids, you put on weight, don't you? Apparently that's what they do. Actually, what steroids do, much like HRT or any hormone type of thing, they change your fluid fluctuation and they make you hungry. So I had to really, really work against my own mind that was telling me, eat rubbish, eat crisps, eat chocolate, and not be thrown by the scales, but trust in the plan. And that's a really hard thing to do, isn't it? Give your trust to a plan that actually, if you food optimize, it will work. I would also say, look at non-scales victories. Look at things like how your genes fit. Look at how fit you are or how quick you can do something. Because if we become obsessed by the numbers, again, that's going to add into it. It's going to make you feel worse.
It's almost like you need a certificate in itself to say, I'm going through the menopause and I'm still here doing Slimming World. Yeah. You know, sometimes like a certificate of achievement. Because when you're not losing the weight, and mostly the way that Slimming World works is by numbers on the scales,
of
mostly.
Course, yeah.
Then it's so frustrating because you're looking around at the people who might be a bit younger or a bit older and you're like, oh God, it's so annoying.
But I'd also say, have the open mind to know that the way in which you're food optimizing might need to be tweaked. You know, I've had to realize that as my body's changed, as my mind's changed, you know, the last bit of weight I've got to lose is so much harder and I've got to work. And we had this conversation about pulling it apart, refocusing on it. So, you know, knowing that communication with your consultant is going to be key to get that help and support. There's also, you know, lots of resources and features online as well. So don't be scared to ask for help again.
Talking about asking for help. So a couple of people have said that they've ditched alcohol for the time being. Don't know how long they're going to do it for. They're just seeing where it takes them. And, you know, we find a lot of people kind of get curious with this when they're on a health kick. Just remove, if it's a trigger for you, remove it. So Shirley has given up for a few weeks. She feels so much better for it. She used to save her sins for alcohol at the weekend and then have to catch up all week, because she always went over. It's her trigger. But she asks, how long does it take for the cravings to go away? It's a funny one. It's a bit like sugar, isn't it? You just have to... It's more like less about the cravings than the habit that you associate with the thing that you're doing. So like for me, like that 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the evening, that is a habit where I'm like sitting down, watching telly. Now I'm ready for like a sweet treat. And I had to do that old question of, but what if I don't? When you go out to gigs or things like that, you order a beer. When I used to have like a balcony, and on a sunny day, me and my housemate, whenever the sun was out, we'd go and have a gin and tonic on the balcony. So it was more like the situation that I associated it with than the actual cravings. There isn't, in a weird way, it's almost like cravings don't really exist when I broke it down. I mean, there's way more science. That's not a scientific opinion. Don't take that as gospel. But when I broke it down, I looked, it was more about the activity that I associated with. So, I mean, some of the things that people did that I know who have taken a break from alcohol, one of the guys said that his drinks cabinet was within arm's reach of where he used to sit on the sofa. Oh. So he moved it So if he wanted to have a drink, it was in a different place. It's like when we have the biscuit tin and we put it really high up, or we move like the chocolate so that when we kind of just get in from a hard day at work, we just go straight to that place and it's there. Just jolt your system to like kind of shake it up. The other question here from Debbie is like, how do you tell your friends you don't want to drink alcohol when you're out?
You see, I think you had this far more than I did, because I gave up alcohol when I became a mum, and actually I stopped going out because I had a new baby. So we came out, it was really easy. What did you do?
Well, and with lockdown, I think it has been a lot easier because people don't know what you're up to. The thing is that I learned is other people don't really care how much you're drinking. They're too busy worrying about how much they're drinking and when their next drink is or what they're going to drink next. So after a couple, they won't even notice. And you can do things like, I really built up this huge story in my head of why I had to tell people that I wasn't drinking, and like almost like I had to justify myself, but I'm not weird and I don't know if it's going to be forever and I'm not an alcoholic. And it's like, they don't care. Most people don't care. And the interesting thing is, often you think when you go out that you're the only one not drinking, but now you look around and there'll be one or two other people who, they don't have a problem with alcohol, but they just alternate, or they drink less, or they're not actually that bothered about drinking anymore anyway. So they're having Diet Cokes or, you know, tonic water with a bit of lime in a wine glass. And so it looks like they're drinking, which you used to think, but in actual fact, they're not. So my advice is, don't build this up into a thing. Yeah. It's not.
And I also think if they're your real friends, they're going to support you. And what I found and you found in our transitions through our lifestyles is that actually we had a lot of people in our life that were with us because we were party girls, or because we did this or we did that, or I was useful as the fat friend, you know, all those type of things. So it's recognizing that actually it's a time when you give up alcohol, for a lot of us, that's a time of growth to realize actually that friend was more toxic than the booze. Interesting.
Situation over person or thing. Yeah. And I mean, what I found really interesting is doing this plan and taking my food into consideration whilst taking alcohol, I realized how intrinsically linked they were, but also like the reasons behind why I was comfort eating and comfort drinking were really basking something that was deep at the heart, ultimately similar things. So be curious about it. And actually, I think be open-minded that your friends might say, oh, go on then, I'll have a mocktail as well. They might surprise you. That's the cool thing. On the flip side, Jason sent us an email where he and his wife have been following the plan. She has lost nearly 3 stone, but he's stuck. And he walks a lot. Ironically, just like Jason, who was on the One for Men episode, he's a trucker. Who'd have thought it? But he hasn't quite got the all singing, dancing truck that Jason for One for Men did. He's really at a loss what to do. And I think this can be so difficult when you join with a friend, or you join with a partner, or you join with a family member and they're doing better than you. We had this a few months ago, didn't we, where the two sisters.
Yes.
And one was like, do I start sabotaging her because she's losing weight better than I am? And I guess it's even more entwined when it's a couple, because you would think that, oh, it's a guy, he can lose weight really easy compared to her. If they're going to eat the same things or have the same kind of meal times or same activity, but it's not that simple, is it?
No, and I think what you've got to remember with anybody that you are doing the plan with, unless you are with them 24 hours a day, eating every single bite of food together, you don't know the differences. That's the first thing to put in place. I'm putting my consultant hat firmly on, and I often say this, there's a difference between being good and food optimizing. So I would really talk to your consultant about, and if you don't have a consultant, this might be the optimum time to go and find a group, because finding out what you're doing and maybe what could be supported or changed or tweaked, because everybody is different. So therefore, it may be about playing around with it for you. Also, are you doing that being good? So I've made some changes, this will be enough. Because we know that people can get a weight loss just by changing up habits. You know, I lost weight when I first started, not because I was food optimizing, but because I just stopped eating pizza. You know, that was a massive change. So reaching out to a group, reaching out to a consultant if you're not in one, and doing a food diary. Then going through the process of, if that tool doesn't work, like Claire talked about, an SAS log. But again, no, it's not all lost. There will be a reason. We just need to become detectives and find out what that reason is. But also remembering, you know, we had a quote. It was about comparison was the thief of joy. And it's remembering that, yes, your wife has absolutely nailed it, but you're separate entities, and knowing that it may just take a few different changes, swaps, all sorts of things for you to get that same weight loss.
Yeah, well, and I suppose it's also looking at your wife as like an on-tap inspiration of like, what are you doing? Like, you do a food diary and I'll do a food diary. Then I can swap and I can see your food diary. Mm. Like, because I'm guessing if you're a trucker, there's going to be times when you're on the road and she's not with you. So then maybe you do eat separate meals. So it's really worth, and like the balance of what she eating. Is she having more cups of tea? So making sure she's getting a healthy H2A, but maybe you don't drink a lot of tea when you're on the road. Like, it's honestly, it's like...
It will be. Do you know what? It's normally a few minute things that actually we think are inconsequential, but then when we knit the whole thing together, you go, ah, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. So yeah, it's frustrating. Allow yourself to feel that frustration, because there is nothing worse than living with someone and watching them shrink and you're not. I've been there with my husband and a best friend that lived with us, and I wanted to knock them both out, if I'm honest, but then I had to really go and find out what I needed to change. So but can I just say, Jason, how lovely are you that you're such a great support to your wife? Because that is worth its weight in gold. It really is.
Yeah. And what a great, like, healthy future that you're going to have together. That's the cool thing. So Kath has started her journey online in Australia. She has three teenagers with typical teenager food tastes. And so she has to cook for all of them. It's a bit overwhelming to kind of write out a full menu plan that isn't going to be too labour intensive. Where do you kind of start with some of these things?
So, do you know, when I saw this question, it just made me think about my nearly four-year-old, because I think the way teenagers eat and toddlers eat, and I don't think she's even a toddler anymore, it's pretty similar. My days likes a bit of beige. So what I've really tried to do to make it easier on me is think about how I can food optimize her or food optimize her meals. So like, I make Slimming World chicken nuggets now so that I can have her chicken nuggets, Slimming World chips and a salad. She doesn't have the salad, she might have some carrot sticks, or going for those easy wins. So if you're cooking for them, you've got a jacket potato that you cooked last night, or you can make an omelette. Like, I think sometimes where we fall when we're trying to lose weight is we think it's got to be grand, we've got to be elaborate, and I've got to sit down and create this meal. Do you know what? Some of my best meals are like scrambled eggs, baked beans and some mushrooms. So not overcomplicating it, because otherwise you're going to feel resentment and then you're going to go, I'm having their beige too.
Yeah, burger and chips. Ooh. And pizza and chips are like two of my favourite things, and curries as well. And we have those every week.
Yeah. But how easy, like, you know, is it to, like, Daisy and I make the pizzas out of wraps. She loves chopping up the potatoes to make her chips. You know, she likes making the burger, and you could do all of that. You know, I don't know what it's like in Oz if you've got things that you can grab like we can that would be free or very, very low sin that you could shove in the oven that might help. But maybe get them to help you fake away stuff like that. Get them involved. I used to cook for my whole family as a teenager. I loved it because, God love my mom, I hope you're not listening, she is the world's most rubbish cook. My dad was so busy and just used to shove a packet of butter and everything. I just thought, if this is going to be fun and we're going to eat well, I've got to take control of this. So I used to cook five nights a week. And actually, the concoctions I would come up with, you know, it was really good fun and I enjoyed it. And no one died of food poisoning. Yes.
Wow. One final question here from Dana. I hope that I'm saying your name right. I have been on the plan for around 10 weeks now. Is it normal to have constant wind?
Can I just say, as a Slimming World consultant, this is one of the most asked questions.
Privately or publicly?
You know, Claire, you know my groups. Nothing's normally off limits in my groups. A lot of private messages. So what you've got to think about when you start food optimizing, if you've not been someone that eat a lot of fruit or vegetable or fiber, you have added that in an articulated lorry load, haven't you? And normally it's a lot of insoluble fiber that you're taking on. So things that, you know, can create a lot of gas. So yeah, I've looked at things that are less gassy than others because, you know, I have some tummy troubles. So things like taking the peels off things will stop some of that. Some things cause more gas than others, like grapes are pretty gassy, an apple isn't. So yeah, totally normal.
Drink lots of water. That's when you up your fibre, drink lots of water. We're not saying that, but it does. I've got used to that now, but I definitely know what you mean. And as you say, there are a few things that are like extra gassy.
Yeah, like, and remembering if you're a fan of a lentil or a bean, maybe don't eat them at every meal because that could really exacerbate the methane production.
You know, I'm a house of two vegans here. We're all about the gas. It's fine.
I mean, I'm not vegan, but I've got a bowel condition and a husband. I mean, we're all about the gas here too. You know, when people talk about solar panels, I often think about just your own gas, how far I could fire the house. So yeah, it's a byproduct of weight loss. I always think I'm losing more weight the more I'm farting.
But the thing is, like, sometimes when you go to weigh and you feel so bloated, like you feel like you're about 20 stone heavier because you're just full of wind and you just almost like want to stick a pin and you deflate yourself. Like, does wind weigh on the scales? Like, because it's air. These are the things that you think about.
Yeah, you've asked me this before. I don't know if you remember, but you asked me in Greek. No, farts do not weigh.
Okay.
Apparently, the more you fart, the more you lose.
That's not the official Slimming World statement right there. Don't write that up, Daily Mail. That's not the official line.
It's our new... We're launching a new plan, the Thart of Fartathon. Yeah. It's like an award. Can you imagine? I'm going for my bronze Fartathon award. So
right. To wrap up then, we wanted to bring the attention of an email which really touched our hearts from Julie this week.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to read it because I think it just gives the full context of the journey that Julie's been through and really powerful as well. So she listened to a podcast which we did last year. It was the 15th of June 2020, which ironically was her birthday, and it was all about diabetes. And she said as a result of listening to that episode, she actually went and got herself checked out. To her horror, not only was she pre-diabetic, but actually she was slightly worse than that. She was borderline diabetic. On top of that, her cholesterol was so high, she had to attend a clinic at hospital. So she got armed with medication. She came home and she cried. She did the whole beat herself up syndrome. She played it out all day. I'm useless. Why can everybody else control their weight, their exercise and stress, and I can't? I'm 57. I've never been able to control my weight or the food I put in my mouth. But having listened to the podcast, I searched for our nearest Slimming World club and I text Caroline, the consultant, and all within a day, she said that her consultant could not have been more supportive and she has joined. She started her Zoom Slimming World classes a couple of weeks ago. She started one as a newbie and then she kind of moves towards the normal session. She said that we ended the podcast telling people that it was a different type of episode. But in her words, she says, I cannot stress enough that this particular program has quite literally changed my life. Thank you. I was putting up with all the signs of diabetes, but not being able to put my finger on it. It was just me because I was fat, was how I was talking to myself. So in 12 weeks' time, I have to return for blood tests. I'm still convinced I won't be able to achieve weight loss, but watch this space. I'm a shorty, 5'1", post-menopausal. Now there is a podcast idea and a half, how ironic. Mm. But thank you. Thank you for both helping me realise I needed to go to the GP even in lockdown, and it put me on the start of my journey. Watch this space to hold myself accountable. I will email you with my 12-week weight and blood results. Yeah, that was our reaction when we got that. I think it was on a Sunday morning, like really early. So all that had happened over Julie's weekend. And on the Monday, she started as a Slimming World member.
How courageous is she? But how exciting. the future she's got because she's made that change.
Yeah. Oh,
Julie, I can't wait to hear what happens to you. It just goes to show, though, like, trust your gut and know that you can do something about it. And that's the brilliant thing about diabetes. You can, A, control it, but B, reverse it if you do take the right steps. And, you know, I've talked about this, about my beloved dad and how it killed him. And I just love it when I see people who are taking control and going to change their life, Julie. So happy for you.
You said in that episode, you were like, you've got a health condition that you cannot do anything about. But with diabetes, you said that there is, for many people, an option that you could do something about this.
It's in your hands. And how powerful is that? That's in your hands. And it might not be easy to begin with, but how brilliant that you could absolutely stop that from ravishing your body.
Do you know, I find that really interesting because, if we're honest, Julie, we were really nervous about doing that podcast, weren't we? We were like, have we got enough knowledge? How are we, like, kind of equipped to do this? I mean, we had the lady from Slimming World who was an expert on all this kind of stuff, but we were really nervous about, like, should we do this or should we just stick to talking about journaling and pants and going to parks and Anna not liking being out in the rain? But we knew that it was a subject we needed to talk about because it impacted so many people, you know, including you, Anna. So to get an email like that and know that the impact of the subjects that we're raising awareness of and making a difference, that's really important.
That's incredible to us from, you know, and I think we still pinch ourselves, don't we, that we were two girls that just had a little chat at your kitchen table, and to have helped someone make that change is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Very humbling.
Right, next week, not serious subject at all, but by popular demand, we are talking about desserts. Would you like to see the dessert menu? Yes, I would.
Yes, I want to see the dessert menu before I see any other menu. My mum, when she was dating my dad, used to just ask for the dessert menu. She'd bypass any other food and she'd get two desserts.
Well, see, the thing is, when you're following a weight loss journey, yes, you can have a little bit of the things that you like. So we're kind of going to, like, talk about some of our favourite desserts and see what options there are already out there for salivating your sweet tooth.
Salivating your sweet tooth.
I don't think that's actually a sentence.
No, I think salivating is like saliva and, yeah, but I know what you meant. Maybe
salivanizing your, no, I think.
Satisfying your sweet tooth.
I was trying to think of a bigger, posher word, but it just almost failed. Stick to me pants. Anyway.
Galvanize your gelato, ladies. We're ready to rock the dessert.
Someone actually said, we need to talk about your terrible Yorkshire accent. I did see that on a comment this month.
Do you know what? And then Kirby, my beloved Yorkshire consultant, says that she is, you know, she's proper strong Yorkshire. And I've got Yorkshire family. She finds it delightful. So I'm not going to be insulted about my Yorkshire accent.
Well, there we go. A good old Yorkshire helping of dessert, perhaps next week. Yorkshire puddings used to be dessert. Did you know that?
I love a sweet Yorkshire pud.
Anyway, it's been great to have you listening to this episode. And thank you. By the way, there were so many questions this month. We could have done 1,000 different episodes, but we are saving a few for some future episodes. So watch this space, because your question could actually end up being on another episode. So yeah, keep sending them through at Slimming World Podcast on Insta, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com on the old email. And me and Anna are off to go and dream about ice cream, pie, biscuits, gatto, crumble.
Interesting. I'd rather a hot dessert than a cold.
Well, we'll get into that next week. But whatever you get up to this week, have a great week. Enjoy your groups, whether you're paying a wing in person, whether you're going to your virtual group, whatever you get up to. And enjoy your food. Bye.
Bye for now.